Morena, my name is Felicia Brown Acton. I am a board member to the Auckland Pride Festival Incorporated Society organisation.
I guess a good way to start would be to ask how your Pride is going.
Well, there's been lots of fantastic things happening throughout Tāmaki Makaurau, Auckland. With, in particular, Auckland Council having a number of activations throughout a number of different Auckland Council community centres, and they range from things like Miss South Auckland, or Queen of South Auckland, drag bingo, sporting competitions, and a number of other craft-related things. Saturday, obviously, we kicked off with the march, which brought to Albert Park, just over 3,000 people, who then finished in the Myers Park for a bit of a dance and a bit of sit-down. And it was just a really lovely atmosphere of people sitting together, feeling connected, united, and being there in solidarity with each other. And then obviously yesterday was a massive big day out, and it's kudos to New Zealand Aid Foundation for their continued support of the Auckland Pride Festival. And there are a number of theatre and performing arts things still yet to kick off within the coming week. So there are a number of things. Check out the Auckland Pride Festival website should you want to find the program and to see what's happening at a theatre or a location near you.
Something that has been talked about in terms of what over the weekend was that it was just a really, really beautiful, wholesome, lovely, loving time on Saturday. Something that hasn't really been, I guess, talked about in the media, because the media's been talking about all of the issues that have happened over the past few months and questioning the success of Pride. Would you be able to maybe break down what would a successful, in quotation marks, Pride look like?
I think the question first and foremost is to ask, who is it a success for? And, you know, when I sit back and sort of observe these things, and I'm being involved in previous Pride festivals and parades on a previous board, I sort of tend to look back and I sort of think, well, in terms of the community participation or community engagement, and when we look back at previous parades, you know, community engagement of rainbow community members involved in the actual parade have always hit between the 1,200 to 1,400 mark. Now, to see a march that brought over 3,000 people, if we're going to apply a measure to that, that has doubled community engagement and participating in something, and for me, that I view as a success. But it also highlights a number of other things that we continue to see as barriers for people that don't participate or haven't participated in previous parades. Floats are expensive. They come at a high cost. Therefore, people become dependent on sponsors, you know, the arduous activities of fundraising just to get lighting, sound systems, the actual vehicle, the decorations, you know, and the manpower behind that logistically. So for a lot of community people, they don't have the means to that. And I think previously there had been attempts to try and partner up corporate sponsors with local community groups, but I don't think that model necessarily has kicked off or done quite well to involve a greater number. So when we're starting to talk about success, you know, for me the measure of success is seeing the amount of people that came from community to participate, that doubled the numbers in terms of community engagement, and that the messages that were promoted were, yes, political, but there was a huge wave of solidarity standing up for, in particular, trans, gender diverse and non-binary communities, who have often been a very silent and invisible aspects of previous Pride parades and festivals. So, I mean, ultimately, who are we talking about, you know, what success is related to? Is it related particularly to a whole big celebration that we're measuring success based on something that's like the Mardi Gras or, you know, previous hero events, or we're actually talking about, you know, communities feeling empowered to actually turn up and promote a whole bunch of messages, which is around the political nature of Pride, and actually being provided a platform to have voice and visibility rather than to showcase glitz and glam. I think for me, the success stands in the fact that Auckland Pride itself is for a platform to bring in rainbow communities, to be able to have a platform to be as political as they want, to celebrate and to stand in solidarity with one another. And I think ultimately the board has stuck to that kaupapa, ensuring that the purpose of our organisation provides that platform for community. And for me, I view that as a success, but that's also not to say that there are probably other things that we could have done better. But, you know, again, we haven't had this much community involvement actually speaking up and speaking out around how they want Pride to be reshaped and what they want it looking like in the future. And I think we have a big responsibility as a board to ensure that we're working also with a lot of those others in the community who feel like the parade was cancelled, which took away something from them, and we need to bring them back into the scope of things and just see how we can, you know, work together in the future ultimately so that we can, you know, us as a community, the rainbow community, are talking about the success, and it isn't media that is portraying success at a very biased not from a place that is actually promoting or fostering safety and great things about community in general, or talking more so about the community spirit, because that ultimately has been what has been driving this new shape, feel and look of Pride.
Your point, who are we talking about in terms of who means success or what that success looks like, but also who are we talking to? Because like you're saying, the cost of floats and the cost of advertising, that money that's come from corporate injection, I suppose, that often I've found has led to kind of advertising to the wider public, right? The wider society. You're advertising outside of that community, and almost I've found it's probably not necessarily a bad thing to take that away, because again, you're going back to the root or the foundation of who this event is for.
Absolutely. And I think it, when it speaks to this notion that you get stuck in the silo of becoming funder driven or sponsor driven, that obviously puts you know, community at risk in a number of different ways. And what that leads to ultimately is that a business community is what are those that are actually gaining from Pride in itself. And that's probably the backlash we've got as a result of the business community having a very heavy-handed involvement in Pride versus now, you know, basically, and I can tell you from the first Pride Parade right through to the current Pride Parade, all Pride Parades have never made a significant surplus to be able to reinvest back into community. They have always broken even or slightly just been in the deficit. And we've just taken on money that has been basically given to us by community as a result of that fantastic fundraising effort by community, and just utilise what other small resources we had. And, you know, all these corporate sponsors had pulled out. We lost our funding as a result of our main funder. But again, all of those things were driven on headcounts and the amount of people observing or watching the actual festival. And again, based on GDP and how much of that GDP is contributed to Auckland as a result of the Pride Festival. And I think those are, in aspects, good things in a way, but again, it detracts from the actual spirit of community, how much community have a say in shaping and moulding how they want their festival to be, and it limits us as a board to actually be taking money to say, okay, it can only support us with, i.e. the parade, and the logistics behind that, and that we need to work really, really hard to ensure that we meet keep KPIs in order to be able to increase crowd participation so that hopefully we get funding the following year. So I think The other thing as a board that we're looking at is that we need to look at other fundraising strategies that are community-driven, so that it is always community at the heart of the design, the development and the implementation of Pride in itself. And I think it is about taking that ownership and not being reliant on the fact that, you know, corporates only decide to give money at points, and it's not always a continuous thing, and it's not a sustainable thing. Mm. And it's a very difficult place to be a not-for-profit entity, and we're limited with what we can do. So I'd like to see us in the future getting more feedback from community around how we can do that better and further sustain financially festival. But you're absolutely right, it isn't a bad thing that we actually didn't make the decision not to withdraw from those sponsors. They made the conscious decision to remove themselves from Pride because they didn't support our efforts around police and asking them to come to a compromise to glam up their uniform a bit, because we actually listened to those in community who are actually saying, well, we're not a part of it because we just don't feel like we can be, because of the result of past experiences with police, trauma, and then also other groups who have a more political involvement. And, you know, we as a board decided that we would listen to community and we would actually act on their behalf rather than trying to be the mediators. And it was police ultimately that made the decision to remove themselves.
I think we could talk, I mean, a lot longer about the sort of possibilities for future Pride, because it seems that there are many. But in terms of moving forward, I think it's always good to look back. And that's sort of initially why I wanted to talk to you today, just to give us, I guess, some context about the original Pride, I suppose, the original hero parades and how this all started, I guess.
I guess if you wanted to take it right back into the riot days, and, you know, Stonewall days in New York, and actual Pride itself and where that evolved from, and that was as a result of police brutality towards the gay community, and you know, that's the essence of how that came about. But New Zealand historically has, you know, through homosexual law reform and the protest around that, to then leading into Hero, and Hero was a fantastic example of a very community-grown, community-led response to ensuring that they had a platform that they were able to politically to protest, whatever that may be, whether it be political, whether it be personal, whether it be about the body. There are a number of different mediums in terms of allowing that platform. And then also about celebration. So there was always about celebration around just the community in general, where ultimately when the first hero parade started, they were led down Queen Street. And the last one, if I recall it, was in Princess Wharf in 1993, which was I was a part of, and was sort of probably being the first one. And then it then shifted up onto Ponsonby Road, where I believe that's probably where it started to shift and change, because the Ponsonby Business Association were obviously a partner that were involved in it. There was a general interest, I guess, in business and how that applied. So then the scope of it started to change. And at both times, there were big issues around previous mayors like Les Mills and how things about it came to be within community and his not necessarily wanting to be supportive of it. So again, there was an uprise of the community being political and standing up to the likes of Les Mills as mayor and also other conservative politicians. So Hero in itself has always been a political vehicle, but also a platform to be able to showcase and celebrate as a community. And there were huge dance parties that happened at the Auckland Showgrounds and Green Lane that were massive productions that included so many people from community. And, you know, when I'm talking about humongous stages with hydraulic lifting machines that would lift people up, and there would be people, I remember we taught here, a very well-known Māori Takatāpui drag queen, who did the Age of Aquarian. She flew from one end of it, you know how big the inside of the Auckland showgrounds is.
Yeah.
She flew across a line that took her right across the whole entire audience of thousands of people right up onto the stage to do her huge performance. We had the Bertha, who came out of this humongous mechanical hydraulic lotus that just had hundreds of performers, and then they did a Egyptian Cleopatra number. There were Pacifica, there were Maori performances. It was just a huge celebration of community, and it's things like that that I reflect on in terms of community spirit that I think has sort of shaped itself to be a bit different in terms of how we are prioritizing the key issues that are impacting. And it's almost like, I think the pride has sort of come into the space is that we are all now absolutely free because we have rights. But I think a lot of people are starting to forget that there are still a lot of people within rainbow communities who are marginalized, who are vulnerable. When we think about transgender, gender diverse and non-binary people, how they're not protected under the grounds of discrimination within the Human Rights Act 1993, and how that needs to be amended. New Zealand has just gone through the Universal Periodic Review in Geneva at the United Nations, and they've had three strong key recommendations from Iceland, Australia, and I think it was Mexico, I could be wrong, Chile, sorry, who have basically said New Zealand needs to look at their protections and their rights for trans, non-binary, gender diverse and intersex people. And that's as a result of, you know, that whole scenario around the fact that we're celebrating or we're promoting this message that we are this inclusive, fantastic community. But I think we've sort of forgotten along the way that we're not all there yet. And it's that whole thing around is we're not free until we're all free, and that it shouldn't be what it is until we've finished politically as a community, being able to stand in unity and solidarity to harness those things from the past and past hero parades. You know, they stood up as a result of understanding the importance of protesting, whether it been about one particular issue, is that we all stood up together to ensure that things changed, so that they weren't just solely just for one part of the community. And the sad thing about it that's come about it is in the levels, I guess, where it's evolved to now is that in particular trans communities have had huge transphobia that have been the premise to why people don't want to shift or don't feel that part of the community should be afforded any rights at all, because people don't believe that it's possible to be born trans, that we all just decided that it was just a lifestyle change, that we wanted to live this life of constant discrimination and marginalization and made to be vulnerable just for the sake of living your affirmed identity. And I think a lot of people have a hard time with that, even people within our own gay and lesbian communities, and there's a lot of bias around that. And that's probably the sad ultimate part that I see, because as a trans person myself, standing up for homosexual law reform, which was pretty much for gay and lesbian people, you know, it's not hard to be quite hurt by the fact that the very same people you stood with in solidarity to march and address, you know, protest those issues, as well as be involved in previous hero parades, to now being involved in Pride, that they don't see the need or the desire to want to stand with me and others like me to support us in ensuring that we get, you know, equal rights just like any other New Zealander has. So, you know, it's sort of lost its community spirit and drive along the way, but I hope that this has been a, if anything, a measure for a lot of people to see, in order for us to actually see success into the future, that we've got a lot more work to do collectively as a community. And I think unity needs to be a starting point around addressing this.
I wanted to just say, because you mentioned just about the march on Saturday and saying how yes, there were political messages or political corridor, but it wasn't just that. And something that a lot of people have, I guess, it reminds me of the Springbok tour when people were saying, you know, rugby isn't political, leave them separate, that sort of thing. That kind of idea that pride is now a thing that everybody is able to celebrate, and let's celebrate the progress that we've made, and let's, you know, be happy that we can all be out and happy. And what you've just said now in terms of actually the entire community is not out and happy and life is not, you know, life for a lot of those people. And so at this point, you can't just depoliticize something like that, right? It is political because the very existence of these people is political. And to distinguish the two or to try and separate it doesn't actually work. So in terms of moving forward, like you say, having this unification of a community, but also acknowledging that there are these differences, but making it work for everybody?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, fundamentally, within our constitution, it basically states that the Auckland Pride Festival is to provide a platform for our community to be political and to celebrate and to stand in solidarity with one another. So, you know, we have to ensure as an organisation that we're always committed to that. And you can't separate celebration and being political within pride, because historically that has always been the spirit of how it has evolved. Just by wearing a rainbow or having a rainbow flag in your hand is a political statement, because it's connecting you to your identity, and with your identity comes historically a whole bunch of issues, but also within today's day and time, we can't avoid or ignore the fact that there are still huge problems around stigma. There are huge problems still around discrimination, and you only have to look to reports that have been developed and written here in New Zealand, like the Youth Trials Report, which clearly highlights bullying for LGBTQI plus youth as being a huge problem. Suicide rates are still a big problem. So if we're going to continue to pretend that pride is only about celebrating, we're not doing justice to a number of those in our community who still are voiceless, who are invisible, and don't have the collective support for us to mobilise and to use the vehicle of pride to be able to politicise issues like that, so that the message can be heard loud and clear at the highest level, right through community, that we will not stand for this anymore, and that it is not an excuse or no longer tolerated that these types of things are still happening today. And it doesn't help when we have populists like the US president who continues to perpetuate smokescreens and use LGBTQI plus communities as an example of silencing or minimizing, whether it be within legislation or whether it be by just what he's saying, but the harm in that and how that trickles into communities and how it impacts so many people and what that leads to. The only avenue for us to address these things, because there are not enough of us that do this as in our daily jobs to address this as a community, is to use pride as a vehicle to politicize key messages that will assist our those vulnerable within our communities to have things changed to better their lives, but also to celebrate in the same sense the things, the successes that we've won as a community in the past. And I think these are things that often people just forget. I hear people talking about, but the homosexual law reform revolution has ended. Well, for me, you know, the revolution has just started. Because there's so much more that needs to be addressed. There was so much more that was forgotten about, as a result of being focused on just homosexual law reform. And there are still things that are rights related that need to be changed within legislation and within policy. And we need to see a greater contribution by government financially to be resourcing a number of things, whether it be within schools, whether it be within services or community groups, to support them in being able to do the voluntary work that most of them do to pick up the pieces because no one else is doing it.
Kia ora. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
I think I just wanted to add, you know, there's a lot more work that needs to be done, and it can't just be reliant on a board of volunteers to do all of this work. We need a lot more community groups more involved. We need to, as a board, we need to find a number of different ways people can make submissions, whether it, you know, because people don't understand what a hui is. Maybe we need to be using, you know, generic language so people that don't speak or understand Te Reo Māori can understand, okay, it's a community forum or a community meeting. So we need to do a lot of different things in order to change it. But I think there's probably I would like to see a bit more healing done within the community. I don't know if we're ever going to be getting there. But, you know, these things, 3,000 plus people turned up to this march. And 10 years from now, I can only imagine it to being something massive and something that has just got a strong sense of community spirit. But we have a big job as a board to ensure that there's a healing process, that we're connecting people, that we're going and talking to people face-to-face, in particular people that have opposed a lot of our decisions and why we've made the decisions that we have, in order to just sort of bring them back into the scope of things. And I don't know whether Pride will be going back down Ponsonby Road. That's not for us to decide. That's for the community to talk to us about. But again, you know, I see this as being something hopefully that will put a spoke in the wheel and that we're not repeating this 20 years from now, because obviously this is something that's been repetitive where there's been community upheaval and then, you know, a sort of a healing process, and then we sort of move on together. But I think it's sort of counterproductive to continue that with into the future. So I'm hoping that this is a real spoke within the wheel, I mean a real spear within the wheel, and that we can get things right moving into the future, and that we are doing that and not leaving anyone behind. And I think that's a key message that I've been promoting into the future, is that we leave no one behind.